gospel this morning is from Matthew, the 25th chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Whenever I read that passage from Matthew that I just read, I always think, Jesus is a trap. Have you ever felt like that in your own life? I felt like that when I was an 18-year-old private in the Army, just out of basic training, right off the flight home, and I interviewed for an ROTC scholarship. It was nerve-wracking for sure to prepare for such an interview. I memorized procedures and spit-shined my shoes and spiffed up my uniform and said more than a few prayers. And then I entered the room, a room filled with people who seriously outranked me. Colonel, a major, a sergeant major, gulp. With clammy palms, I saluted my superiors and my tummy did a rumble, and I thought, it's a trap, run! How many of us so have been in a position like that, in the hot seat, just like Jesus was today? Whether you were preparing for an exam, or facing a parent or a boss, sitting in the principal's office, or being questioned by the police, or simply being called to task by someone who loves you enough to hold you accountable. It's nerve-wracking, isn't it? Sometimes facing authorities feels like a trap. I wonder if that's how Jesus felt that day when he was having a seriously risky conversation with the Pharisees that day. Jesus knew the Jewish law, of course, and he knew that all citizens were required to pay taxes. But the question posed to him that day was not so much about loyalty, because he knew the rules. No, the question that backed Jesus up against the wall was more about naming the reality. Whose face appears on the coin? Caesar's. To whom do you owe your life? Now that's another question entirely, one that Jesus and we can answer with confidence. Our lives belong to God. Instead of being trapped by the question, Jesus makes a pretty clear statement about truth. As citizens of this world, yes, we are required to abide by certain rules, to pay taxes, to obey the law. If we want to keep a job, we need to show up on time and get our work done. But as citizens of God's reign, we know that everything we are and everything we have is from God. We are made in the image of God, not in the image of Caesar or Lincoln or whichever president appears on our money these days. Sure, we pay taxes to the government, but we pay our devotion to God. What Jesus is talking about here is naming the reality that God is the giver of all the gifts that we see before us and that are within us. Long ago, the beautiful earth was created and the Spirit moved over the waters, and that same Spirit is with us today. And everything we have, everything we are, comes from the same God. Besides power and privilege, Set that all aside. We are created in the image of God to care for all that God has created. This is what Martin Luther called the doctrine of two kingdoms. And it goes way beyond the American ideal of separation of church and state. See, this claims that all things fall under the realm of God. And to view this world in that way is truly revolutionary. To hold in my hand a coin or a bill that bears the image of a U.S. president and the United States of America written on top, and to say that it belongs to God is a radical move. And that's exactly what was on that denarius that Jesus held in his hand. It was the image of Caesar and the words that Caesar was king. To say that and to put our money in the hands of those who are in need or in our offering basket says to the world where my loyalties lie and in whom I place my trust. It is to say that while you and I are citizens of this nation and of this world, we answer to a higher authority to whom we claim our allegiance. Now that is radical. And in some countries, that is enough to get you thrown in jail or worse. So to receive the generosity of God in our lives and to put that generosity right back out into the world is to proclaim that what we had was never ours to keep anyway. It was ours to borrow, to care for, to steward, and then to give back. The generosity of God will transform your vision. No longer are you and I then consumers, filling up our homes and our lives with the latest gadget. But instead, we are stewards of God's gift. It brings into clear focus what is false and what is true. Now, Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites in this reading today, but in reality, I think he's diagnosing them with amnesia. Have they forgotten? Have we forgotten to whom this world belongs? In weekly worship and in daily prayer, we proclaim something powerful, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God's reign is breaking into this reality, and that we are part of that movement. But isn't it easy to forget? I think so. Just like the Pharisees, we too get caught up in arguments of the day, nervous about the presence of authorities or shaken by events that shake our world. So we come to worship, and we come to this table to receive our Lord's Supper and to remember to whom we belong. In fact, we hear at every time we receive the Lord's Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." We remember. The Lord knows that we forget. So we all need to remember that none of us can do it on our own. So that's why we join together in community, to connect, to care, to give generously of our gifts, even our money that bears the government's image. We are rebels with a cause. That is the proclamation from street to rafter that Jesus is Lord and no other. Today is what we like to call Stewardship Sunday. It is a day not to focus on lack, but on God's generosity. It is a day, like all days, to trust God more and more, to trust God with who you are and with all that you have. So today, on the way in or on the way out, you'll see green envelopes with this year's giving information. And I ask you to bring it home with you, but don't fill it out right away. I'm asking for you to pray about it, to think clearly about your gifts and your commitments. Consider yourself a steward of God's generous gifts and grace, and ask God to help you decide what you can share. Now, earlier this year, a pastoral colleague of mine got all up in my face and said, "How much are you giving to the church?" And I told him. And he said, "You need to give more." He said, "If you give more, you will never regret it." And so I did. And you know what? It's really freeing. It's really freeing to let go of that electronically every month out of my account. I don't even miss it. It's been freeing, an act of liberation, an act of resistance against the images inscribed upon our currency. It is one way to remember that it is God in whom I place my trust. In addition to our mission to join God at work in the world, we are in the business of remembering to whom we belong, to whom this world belongs. We have been given the awesome responsibility of being stewards to the good news in this corner of the world, in Invergrove Heights and Eagan, and South St. Paul and Mendota Heights, and to the ends of the earth. As a neighborhood church, I ask you to pray for this neighborhood and pray for this church. Join me in praying that the Holy Spirit would come and powerfully transform this church, this world, this neighborhood. Join me in giving of your gifts, financial, spiritual, physical, emotional. And join me in remembering, and then give it all back to God, from whom all of these blessings flow. Thanks be to God. Amen.